This is a Power 98.7 podcast. Now we're talking. Subscribe to Power 98.7 podcasts in iTunes or wherever you get your podcasts. There's more on power987.co.za.
Yes, as we said, today it is a preview of the budget that will be delivered by the Honourable Minister of Finance, Enoch Godongwa. Now, there'll be many things for him to consider today, like debt management. South Africa's got a high debt-to-GDP ratio, like fiscal restraint, you know. How much are they going to spend and use productively to stimulate this economy versus just spending it, say, on wages? Definitely there's an energy security issue. He cannot deliver a speech that doesn't show us what they're going to try to do with Eskom. And maybe we'll see an allocation for this new Minister of Electricity, even if we don't know who she or he is. And then, yes, people are saying, you know, see us. Let this also be a people's budget. And many of our power listeners saying what we the people want are municipalities that work better and offer better service delivery, clean the streets, collect the refuse, sort out the potholes, you know, make sure there's food in the hospitals. And definitely many of our power listeners saying we the people demand better allocations to the Ministry of Policing. We want the crime problem solved. We're joined now by Dr. Basani Baloyi, a program director at the Institute for Economic Justice, together with Professor Andre Roux, an economist at the Stellenbosch Business School. Dr. Baloyi, good morning.
Good morning. How are you? And to your listeners as well.
I'm fine, thank you, ma'am. And Professor Roux, good morning.
Good morning, and good morning to all your listeners and to Dr. Baloyi.
Thank you so much. Let's start with you, Professor Roux, simply because we know that there are a lot of macro considerations. What are these for the minister today?
Yeah, you're quite right. I mean, I'm afraid the considerations are mainly constraints. Starting off with the really big picture, the global economy, as we all know, is in a bit of a mess, with economic growth all over the world coming under huge pressure. Mm-hmm. And we are no exception. If anything, our constraints are even worse. We entered COVID-19 already in a technical recession. As we know, economic growth has been very mediocre in the last few years, and the prospects aren't all that bright either. All this means that the tax base cannot grow all that much organically. By that I mean that if the economy grows by, let's say, 2%, then the tax base can only grow by 2%. So immediately that means that somewhere on the spending side, I'm afraid, harsh, difficult, tough decisions have to be made because the spending side cannot grow all that much.
And we know that South Africa's debt to GDP ratio, Professor Roux, is 75% or thereabouts. So I always say to people, for every 1 rand earned by the government, 75 cents pays off a debt. Now, for international institutions and creditors, that's a real problem. But for social democrats, they say no. But countries like Japan have a debt that's over 100%, the United States as well. Debt is not the issue. The issue is how the money is spent. What's your view?
Yeah, I think there's an element of truth on both sides. Certainly, 75% is not the worst in the world. The concern is, first of all, the speed at which the debt has risen. We're talking about close to 5 trillion rand, which means, by the way, if every South African were to be asked to help pay back the debt, it would cost us each 80,000 rand. But perhaps more concerning is not so much the size of the debt, but the reasons for this rapid increase. Mm-hmm. And there are three, I'm afraid, important reasons, one of which is helping to pay the civil servant salary bill. A second one is helping to finance social grants. And a third one, and the really uncomfortable one, is that a growing part of the debt we are incurring is being used to pay interest on debt previously incurred. So roughly speaking, for every 100 rands worth of tax that you and I pay in all forms, 20 rand alone goes towards paying interest on money we borrowed sometime in the past. And that is simply not sustainable.
And a question to you again before I bring in Dr. Baloyi. So this budget that's being tabled today, is it money from tax collection and revenues? Because we know that last year SARS had a very good revenue collection rate. Or is this going to be a mix of revenues, money they actually have, and debts they're going to go and borrow?
Well, it's kind of putting the two together. You're quite right. Last year, there was a very fortunate windfall. Commodity prices rose unexpectedly, and that provided a great deal more tax revenue than budgeted for. we can't see any windfall this time round. On the positive side, there are indications that SARS is doing a much better job at collecting what they should be collecting. Mm-hmm. But as I said, even then, there is a limit on how much revenue they can generate. And we don't want to. We cannot afford to borrow too much. Mm. A little bit, yes, that's inevitable, but certainly not. Okay. To such an extent that debt ratio gets even worse.
Okay, so Dr. Baloyi, over to you. So we are understanding that in terms of what the minister has at his disposal, he's constrained. He's got to pay wages, whether we agree with it or not. He's got to service debt and the interest on that debt. And yes, there's more money coming in through taxes, but it's hardly enough to address a lot of these issues. And one of the biggest culprits in this debt story is Eskom. Not only do they have a lot of debt, not only has the government guaranteed some of that debt, but we still are sitting here in stage 6 load shedding. So what's to be done?
Eskom is a big issue. A lot of people are experiencing load shedding. Others are experiencing even worse than that, load reduction, where it actually doesn't come and it's targeted, right? And really, as you're pointing out, that a common denominator that is contributing to this state of affairs is that the National Treasury has not come up with a sustainable debt solution that is crucial to fixing Eskom. It promised that in the last year's budget review that it would say something about that in the medium term the MTBBS.
Yeah.
But nothing has happened. The president has said that National Treasury will come up with this debt solution, but we are still wondering where it is. Because if we don't, then Eskom cannot actually invest in its maintenance adequately, nor can it invest in new capacity, nor can it absorb the rising costs of energy. And therefore, it is forced to raise the price of electricity in order to generate the revenue that it needs to make these investments. So, there are ways about this. We have said, right, that the majority of the debt that Eskom owes has to be removed off its balance sheet, right? Okay. So it needs to be so that it can actually invest in the maintenance and the operations and also the just transition. Now, this would require that National Treasury absorbs the contingent liabilities, which would mean that the debt to GDP will go up. As the professor said, yes, it's high, but it's not astronomically high. We would need to do that. Secondly, there is a larger quasi-state creditor, particularly the Government Employment Pension Fund, right? That should be used to write off Eskom's debt, right? Providing an interest payment holiday, right? And also channeling international climate finance in helping to resolve Eskom's debt. We're also right. So through, for instance, the JETP as has been so that we believe is very crucial, because without resolving this, we don't resolve load shedding more permanently, nor do we actually resolve Eskom in its debt is quite a fiscal risk. So this has an impact in our ability to grow and our ability to generate employment.
Now, very briefly, just talk us through how the government thinks through this just energy transition, what the Treasury is expected to do to bring it to life, and how that solves our problems today. Because whilst it's a good initiative 20 years from now, today, this very 22nd day of February, we don't have electricity. We can't be waiting for decarbonization, climate change, what. We need lights today.
I agree with you. And therefore, and this is the catch-22, right? We need to deal with the short-term, the medium-term, the long-term, and most importantly, the immediate term.
Yeah.
And so we have said that fix Eskom's current fleet. That is crucial. Right. So make sure that the maintenance of the coal fleets, all of that needs to happen so that we can, over the next what, 12 to 18 months, resolve this load shedding question.
Right.
Because you're quite right, the investments in new generation, in renewables and all that, that will not happen currently. But let us invest in the current fleet. Like, let's make sure that we fix the current fleet so that we can get the energy that is required.
And
but that does not mean that we don't do it with the eye to the future.
Okay,
right?
So a hybrid strategy for today and for tomorrow. And very briefly, Dr. Baloyi, we know there's going to be an electricity minister. Are we going to see some kind of an allocation to that directorate today?
Well, like, there's a lot of clarity that is required. We hope that that allocation will be seen. But I mean, what we need clarity on are the various roles and responsibilities of the various ministries, right? And that will then drive, because that is where decision-making lies, and therefore where allocations should be. So we hope if the electricity minister is conceived in a way that it has decisive action in ensuring that all the various bottlenecks are overcome, right? Interministerially, then of course, then we expect an allocation there that will capacitate them to do exactly that.
Well,
but of course, the roles and responsibilities have to be clear interministerially. There's DMRE, there's public enterprise, there's also this ministry. So we need to know who's doing what, and allocations need to be given decisively where power lies.
Okay, Dr. Basani Baloyi and Professor Andre Ruhr in conversation as we preview the budget.
Getting you what you need to know. Power Talk. Weekdays 9 a.m. to noon on Power 98.7.
Helping us to preview what should be priorities in the Minister of Finance's budget is Professor Andre Ruhr from the Stellenbosch Business School and Dr. Basani Baloyi from the Institute for Economic Justice. Professor Ruhr, back to you. So there are some issues here, which is ratings agencies, and South Africans are frustrated. Why do they have so much power? Why do they have so much sway? And we know that recently, I think it was Fitch that sounded an alarm on South Africa. And so they look for a few things, like whether you're spending the money properly, whether you're managing your debts, whether you can grow and stimulate the economy, and whether you can create an enabling environment. Are those going to be fundamental considerations today?
I don't think directly, but indirectly they always are. Perhaps the most important consideration that they take into account is ultimately the willingness and the ability of the debtor to meet their debt commitments, either to pay back the debt one day, and, of course, to pay the interest along the way.
Mm.
And in that sense, this government, nor by any other previous government, has ever defaulted or even hinted at defaulting.
Mm.
So in that sense, we have a fairly good long-term reputation.
Mm.
Just going back to the question of debt and the Eskom story, the minister did say in the October medium-term speech that during today's budget, he will make an announcement. He hinted at something around between one-third and two-thirds of Eskom's debt being assumed by government.
Mm.
So if we split the difference, that's around about half.
Yeah.
And it's not an ideal situation, but in the circumstances, I agree with others that say that we need to give Eskom some leeway to enable them to spend their limited revenue in the most efficient way.
Mm.
And that, in a strange way, could also appease the credit rating agencies.
Mm.
They hinted at that last year as well. If they see some really concerted, plausible way of helping Eskom to finance its responsibilities, that could actually be a slight positive.
Okay.
What we're also hoping, of course, from the budget today, from the minister regarding Eskom, is further details that the president hinted at 2 weeks ago regarding tax breaks for businesses and households that install solar panels.
Mm.
I think we need to look out for that as well.
Okay.
But we should perhaps just always bear in mind the Minister of Finance, when all is said and done, is not responsible for service delivery, etc.
Yeah.
He holds the purse strings.
Yeah, he just does the allocation. So we already know what the priorities are in SONA, but he could give us greater detail, I think, in seeing what matters. So to that end, Professor Roo, what kind of stimulus is needed to kickstart business, particularly SMEs? Last year, there was that business boost fund that they set up. How well has it worked?
I'm afraid I haven't seen much on that. Hopefully, he will report back on that in his kind of review of the last year. I suppose one needs to bear in mind that the introduction of that fund is crucial. I mean, we need entrepreneurship, but the going is tough. And in these very tough trading conditions, it's difficult for nascent, new, budding entrepreneurs to establish themselves. It's just very tough out there. And this is certainly not helped at all by the theme we keep repeating, and that is a load shedding. If anything, smaller businesses are far worse hit by load shedding than bigger ones. Bigger ones could, I suppose, afford some alternative form of electricity, such as generators. Smaller ones simply cannot.
Yeah.
What do you need to kickstart the economy? I'm afraid, in the circumstances, there isn't much scope for government to stimulate the economy. At best, they need to put across a strong message of keeping the ship above the surface. In other words, stabilizing things, showing evidence of the debt becoming more, I suppose, palatable, doing the right things, showing evidence of a commitment, a plausible commitment to reducing misspending, etc.
Okay, let's bring in Dr. Baloyi here for a final question. So many South Africans who are feeling the pinch, they're complaining about interest rates. The minister can't really do much about that. That's the Reserve Bank. But he could see and hear those pleas. So is a basic income grant something that he might refer to? Is it possible he could raise the minimum wage as well? Are we going to see more people being added into the welfare system? And what's going to be done about the big ticket items like crime and healthcare in this country?
Wow. Okay. So that's quite a lot. And you know, I don't believe that we will see much hope in the way in which the SRD grant is actually apportioned. We have been pushing that the SRD grant be set at the food poverty line, right, in order to set the foundation for a universal basic income grant by at least 2024. But what we did see last year is that, yes, indeed, the SRD grant was extended. So even the president mentioned its extension. However, with a limited budget of only $44 billion, which is enough to cover 10.5 million recipients, despite the fact that the Department of Social Development stating that 18.3 million South Africans live below the food poverty line, right? And so this for us, that austerity for us is quite crucial. Similarly, when we talk, you speak about health, right? What we have seen is austerity in the healthcare system, right? And also in the education system. There have been real cuts to healthcare and expenditure, healthcare expenditure and also basic education. So we have 39,000 posts in the public healthcare sector system that remain vacant, and also about 74,000 posts in the basic education system that remain vacant. So what we are delivering is no delivery, basically, to many South Africans. We have an overstretched public healthcare and education system that cannot deliver the quality of services that are required, right? And in terms of healthcare, this will then increase the burden of unpaid care work that many black women, you know, end up having to undertake. Yeah. And research has shown that if we invest in universal public services, right, then such an investment, you know, it expands the supply of capacity in the economy, increases demand, it reduces economic and gender inequality, and it actually contributes to long-term human capital development.
Okay.
In not seeing these things done,
yeah,
we are actually cutting ourselves off.
Okay. So let's see what transpires at 2 o'clock this afternoon, and hopefully the pleas of ordinary South Africans have been heard and the rationale of intellectuals such as yourselves are factored in. We thank you for your time, Professor André Roux, an economist at the Stellenbosch Business School, and Dr. Basani Baloyi, Program Director for the Institute for Economic Justice.
You've been listening to a Power 98.7 podcast. For more podcasts, visit power987.co.za or subscribe wherever you get your podcasts.